This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. It's Monday. We're right where we're supposed to be, and Monday night, and so it's been a heck of a day, but, you know, we'll persevere. Tomorrow will be another day. What the hell, right?
Amen.
Amen.
God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Don't rise. Hey, before we get started, I have to play this song, and maybe everybody will remember this.
Sandy?
Tell me about it, Dad.
I got you, the most lion.
That's Olivia Newton-John, and if you haven't heard, Olivia Newton-John passed away today at the age of 73. The beautiful singer from Down Under. She played in Grease alongside John Travolta, and that was their hit, You're the One That I Want. She had so many hit songs, including Hopelessly Devoted to You, Physical, Damage, Xanadu, and of course, You're Still the One. So in 1992, Olivia was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a partial mastectomy, and she was given the clear. And then in 2013, the cancer reappeared. She had treatment, and she was given the clear again. And 4 years later, in 2017, the cancer reappeared. And then it reappeared again in 2020, and this time it affected her bones. And she was put at stage four, and she passed today, sadly, at the age of 73 years old. What a voice. What a beautiful lady, and you know, will certainly, you know, miss that voice. But she had a great smile, and may she rest in peace. I love that song.
Yeah.
She's in that, those tight leather pants. Oh, my own. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's a great talent. She will be missed,
yeah,
without question.
She will. 73, that's just too young. Yeah, boys in black leather pants never look so good. You're not kidding. But you haven't seen me in black leather pants, and you won't, by the way.
That's disturbing.
That's disturbing. Oh, man, what a voice. Just, I remember seeing Grease at Radio City Music Hall. I think it was Radio City. Play Adrienne Barbeau played Sandy, and that she was pretty good in that too. But man, I think Olivia Newton-John was great, and she could act, she could dance. You know, wasn't a great actress, but she could. You know, she was good. She had a beautiful smile. God, what a beautiful lady. Oh.
Yeah, she was a nice, wholesome actress, and no drama with her. And yeah, she was. It's a shame.
Yeah. What were you saying too? She was Jewish.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was I found that out. So who knew?
Yeah, that's right. Who knew? That was interesting. I would have never thought that. Huh. Rest in peace. That was what a lady. We always start out with the PGA news, and in the PGA news, yesterday or this past weekend, it's the last tournament before the FedEx playoffs. So it's a place in Greensboro Open, which is a long time PGA tournament, and it's the last time where players who are on the bubble of the top 125 can qualify. And it was really cool, a really good weekend. It's an opportunity for guys to secure their tour card for the 2023-24 season and to get into the FedEx playoffs. And the real story, though, was 21-year-old rookie Tom Kim. And this guy, this young man, performed incredible this past weekend. And he was under the radar for 3 days, and yesterday he lights it up. He shoots a 10-under 61. He steals his very first PGA Tour victory. Not only that, as a result of winning the PGA tournament, he now earns his PGA Tour card. And at the end of the round, when they were interviewing him, they asked him if he accepts his PGA Tour PGA Tour status. He said yes, so he gets his card. He's now liking that he's 31, I think, in the FedEx Cup points as a result of accepting it. But the real kicker here, Al, was on Thursday, the opening round, the very first hole, he cards a 4-over quadruple bogey 8. So it's a par 4. He scores an 8. And 3 days later, he goes on to win the tournament. Now, I don't know about you, a 20-year-old who can hold it together in that fashion and to show the poise and maturity to come back and then win by 3 shots. I mean, this kid, you know, he shoots, was it 20 under par to win the
27 on the front nine, round 4.
27.
Well, listen to this. Par, birdie, 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 eagle, birdie, par, birdie, birdie for a 27. And for those who don't know golf and those numbers are meaningless, that is a phenomenal score.
I mean, oh, my God. I tell you, wow. What I mean, and to hold it together after just carding an 8, I just, I don't care. I think that is so impressive. It is unbelievable. I once played in a U.S. Open qualifier. The guy who was the medalist, he actually, he had a triple bogey in his round on the front nine, and he ends up winning, becoming the medalist. He shot a 68 or a 69 on this in pretty tough conditions, but he had a triple bogey and he had another bogey in there. That's just incredible. It's just impressive. And this 20-year-old did it under pressure. He played brilliantly. He sank a 6 or an 8 footer for a par on the 18th hole. So congratulations to Tom Kim. It was an impressive victory. And also an impressive victory. I don't know if you watched the LPGA, but they had their last major, the Women's British Open. It was held for the first time at Muirfield Village in Scotland. And South African Buhai, she kind of dominated the weekend, and she entered Sunday with a 3-shot lead. At one point, she extended it to 5 shots. And then on the back nine, the 14th hole, her 3-shot lead evaporated inside of 10 minutes. Boom. She cards a triple bogey 7 and just absolutely had the worst lie. She, you know, you could tell the pressure may have gotten to her, but you know, she held it together. I got to say, she persevered. Although she went from 13 under to 10 under, and at 10 under par, Chung In-ji, South Korean lady, was in second place at 10 under par, who was having some difficulties on her own. And now Buhai is tied with her, almost collapsing the British Open. And Ashley kept it together, Ashley Buhai. They get into 18th hole. She's got to sink a 5-foot putt, which no putt was easy on this course. And to Buhai's credit, she sinks it for a par. She ends the regulation play in a tie with Chung In-ji at 10 under par. And Chung In-ji, the issue with her is she's got 3 major victories under her belt. She's got 4 PGA Tour wins, and 3 of them are majors. So this lady knows how to play in majors. Anyways, 4 playoff holes later, Ashley Buhai of South Africa sinks a par putt. She hits an impressive, impressive bunker shot to knock it within 2 feet. Inside of 2 feet, she sinks the putt. She ends up winning and beating Chun for her first LPGA Tour victory at the age of 31, and the Tour victory being an LPGA major. So I got to say, the 31-year-old Ashley Buhai, she dug down really deep. She held her composure. She could have just absolutely collapsed even further after the 14th hole, but she didn't. She ends up winning the LPGA tournament. I don't know if you watched any of it, but she was pretty good, I thought. I was glued to it.
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces. I really wasn't familiar with Buhai. I was rooting for Sagstrom, Madeline Sagstrom, to win, but she couldn't pull it through. And Buhai, hey, great name. And there is some news that the LIV might also be looking at starting a female league as well, so that's could be interesting.
Yeah, it's the Burka League.
The Burka League. Oh my!
Oh.
You never can tell the competitors apart.
Yeah. No. No. Cover your face. Oh.
We'll see what happens there. Always something new and interesting. But congratulations to Ms. Buhai. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, she held it together, and she had a hell of a swing, just so simple and just, you know, just really, really cool. So WNBA news, by the way, the WNBA Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9.5 years in a Russian penal colony for drug charges by a Russian court for sneaking marijuana vaping materials into the country. 9.5 years in a Russian penal colony, and that's even got to hurt for, you know, a lesbian to be sentenced to a penal colony. So, so sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. There are negotiations said to be underway between the U.S. and the Russian government for an exchange of prisoners, and you know, leave it to Joe Obama, who will absolutely screw this one up. I'm sure, you know, there's been talk about, you know, what Russian they would exchange Griner and another American for. But the evil United States, the land of the free and the liberty, is not looking so bad to the Marxist, to the BLM American haters, is it? Including LaJuan James. Luan lamented how unjust other justice systems around the world operate. Well, maybe someone should educate Luan. It's called communism, you jerk. If you and your fellow American haters would open your eyes, communist China and communist Russia's legal system has no tolerance for breaking the law. And if you have any question, just go back to Otto Barmer. What was his name? Otto Barmer. Gosh, I can't remember his name. Barmler, a 22-year-old student who broke the law in communist North Korea. You know, he was sentenced to 15 years hard labor after being found guilty of attempting to steal a propaganda sign from a hotel. And the word is attempting. You know, communists don't fool around. And despite all you Marxists having contempt for our republic, including LaJuan James and Brittany Griner, you know, you're a prima donna, LaJuan. You haven't learned a damn thing about your utopian communism. And even after selling out your ungrateful soul for the almighty dollar. So Joe Obama and his administration are going to be talking about exchanging a Russian arms dealer for a druggie. I'm going to make a prediction now. You know, I read in an article Bigfoot's placed on blogspot.com that negotiations for prisoner exchange would include druggie Griner and could take possibly weeks, months, or even years to complete. But my prediction would be that given how dishonest the Democrat Party truly is and how dishonest Joe Obama is, I believe that the Democrats think that they're on a roll after passing this $740 billion boondoggle spending spree. And if the midterm pollings continue to be in the tank and they don't look good for the Democrat Party and Joe Obama's polls are, you know, continue to be below 40%, will there be an October 2022 surprise? You know, the midterm elections are November the 8th. Negotiations will drag out as if it's deemed the Democrats are in trouble, and especially with the black vote. So let's say Marxist Warnock in Georgia is deemed to be in trouble. Can you see how the theatrics will play out? You've got the orchestration of having Warnock standing next to Joe Obama and Blinken announcing Brittany Griner is now coming home after deep negotiations, after tiring negotiations, they reached an agreement, and thank God Brittany Griner's coming home, and Warnock will be up there and he'll be cheering, and they'll have the camera on him so that, you know, his race is so close with Herschel Walker. They've thrown everything but the kitchen sink at Herschel, trying to unseat him and keep communist Warnock. And it'll be like November 1st or 2nd, just in time for the midterm elections. And the Democrats will believe that will put them over the top. So
that is an interesting analysis. I kind of agree with you. I never looked at it quite that way.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that the dishonest Democrats you have to do is you have to think like them, and that's where, you know, in some discussions I've had with Holder, I do see Washington, D.C. system as a one-party system. And, you know, we sit here and we wonder why the Republicans act in the fashion that they do. And, boy, if the Republicans can only do this. Boy, if the Republicans can only do that. Boy, boy, and the Republicans this and Republicans that. But you know what? They can't be that stupid. You know, you've said it. I've seen some of your comments as well. You know, Rona McDaniel, why haven't you thought about this? Why don't you use this? Why not use that? You know, where's the challenging of the dishonest Democrat Party and the fact that the things that they do are completely partisan nature? And then when they're in the minority, they demand that they be given equal treatment, that you reach across the aisle. So you know what? Why isn't it time to start thinking like a dishonest Democrat? It's difficult, but then again, it's easy because there was a guy named Andrew who stated that Islam is so predictable, they're boring. And you know what? The Democrats are predictable. And there's no coincidences. There's no such thing as a coincidence anymore in politics. This is all planned out. And I can see where the dishonest Democrats will do something of this nature if, in fact, they believe that even their cheating will not get carry them over the top, and there will be a red wave in November, and so they need something to stem that, and it could be that could be the surprise that they need. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could see it happening.
Could very well happen. And it can also be a wake-up call for the Marxists here in America, because Griner, if you recall, Griner took a knee, hated America, loved Black Lives Matter, was an advocate for Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist organization. She was anything but a lover of our constitutional republic. She was, for all intents and purposes, a communist Marxist. Well, here she is. She goes to Russia to play to make $1 million in Russia, and she takes a little vaping with her, breaks the law, the drug charges there. And this should be a wake-up call for all the Marxists that Griner the Marxist is nothing but considered a useful idiot to the true Russian communist Marxists who live Marxism every single day. They look at Griner as just nothing but a useful idiot and to be used as a pawn, as every Marxist here in America is the same. So let that be a wake-up call.
Well stated. Well stated. You know, the sports figures in this country have gotten bigger than they really are. You know, they believe that their stature is greater than everyone else, and because they're thrown all this money, somehow their importance seems like that they are free to do what they please. But communist China and communist Russia, including communist North Korea, have their own ideas and their own set of laws. So, you know, the utopia that you seek, you know, in communism and Marxism is not there. It really isn't. I mean, oh, my gosh. And it's Autumn Warm Beer is what I was trying to say. I don't know what happened. My spell check must have, yeah. Then so North Korea, you know, killed Autumn Warm Beer, and all he did was he, and you know what? You want to say all he did? He attempted to steal some posters at a hotel in North Korea, and you see, this is where the people, the youths, especially of the United States, who think that they're privileged and they can do as they please anywhere. And there's no intolerance. There's no tolerance whatsoever for that kind of mischief or law breaking, whether it's stealing something or bringing drugs in. The communists don't have any tolerance for that. So, and you think you can use your status here in the United States as if they really care? The communists don't like the United States of America. They don't like our way of life. They don't like the freedoms and liberties. It's just like the Islamists. The Islamists don't like the freedoms and liberties that the infidels live in the United States. And they despise it. Why are they working so hard to change that? You know, why is it that the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, wrote the explanatory memorandum? The Ikhwan must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. You know, what is it that people don't get with Islam, with the Islamic theocratic system, with the communist system? And you've got these communists like Bernie Sanders and AOC and Cori Bush and Ayanna Pressley, who are embracing this radical ideology. And they use the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment. And yet it's the very system that will oppress people. Marxism, communism, socialism. It will make sure that the government is in control of every facet of your life. I mean, and this is what's being embraced by the left in America today. And like you said, hopefully it's a wake-up call. Will it be? I don't know. You know, will she take a knee if she is exchanged? Will she take a knee? And if she's allowed back in, or if she's exchanged to come back to the United States, you know, that's only time will tell. But I would be very interested to see how she would react when the Star Spangled Banner is played before, if they still allow to play it in the WNBA, if in fact she stands up and looks at that flag and then puts her hand over her heart, being thankful that for freedom and liberty and the opportunity to earn, you know, tens of millions of dollars over her sports career.
Yep, that's why I agree with the Alaskan. He says, who wants her back? Not me. So they can keep Mr. Griner for all I care.
God, I'm still, man, I'll tell you, man, I still don't know. That photo of comparison, they're looking like a guy. Jeez. Yeah, it's interesting.
Hey, teach his own.
I know. Hey, he's right. Well, in other news, the state of Illinois, just when you think you've seen everything, folks, just when you think you've seen everything, the state of Illinois has granted or accredited an Islamic seminary as an accredited college status. All right, so Vito, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that, except, you know, during this whole entire woke movement in the United States, there's been the elevation of the LGBTQ and, of course, the transvestitism and all that. You know, we all have to be tolerant. And then when you have an ideology such as Islam come about that has no tolerance and is intolerant of sexual practice such as homosexuality and premarital sex, suddenly the woke movement goes deaf, dumb, and blind. And it's happened in Illinois, as a matter of fact. The Darul Qasim, an Islamic seminary in the suburbs of Chicago, has announced that the Illinois Board of Education has awarded the institution a license to operate as a college. Founded by Sheikh Mohammed Amin Kolwadia in 2000, Darul Qasim offers courses on Islamic law, theology, Quran recitation, among other Islamic topics. Ultimately, according to the IBHE, Darul Qasim is working to provide a master's level degree in Islamic law and theology. The IBHE seems to believe, however, that the institution primarily serves Muslim students from diverse ethnic minority groups and turns them into imams, spiritual leaders, for Muslim communities, counselors, and chaplains. But Darul Qasim is not just a Muslim college. It's an institution belonging to the Diobands, a hardline South Asian movement established in the 19th century whose offshoot includes, wait for it, the offshoot includes the Taliban. Various Diobandi institutions and madrasas across South Asia have long been considered key driving forces behind Islamist terror in the region. In 2011, Dr. Ijaz Hussain at the University of Pennsylvania estimated that although just 20% of Muslims in Pakistan are Diobandi, some 90% of the terrorist operatives are from Diobandi backgrounds. However, the Diobandi sect contains many various sub-movements, some of which have few links to terrorism or violence. But Diobandi has an offshoot of the Taliban. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but I would think that somebody, Department of Education of Illinois, would have taken a little time to look into the founder, one, okay, and the name. So in 2009, how is it that Robert Spencer can come up with this in 2 minutes? In 2009, Darul Qasim's founder and current head, so he's currently involved, okay, in the seminary, which has now become a college, thanks to the Illinois Department of Education. The founder and current head, Sheikh Amin Kolwadia, explained that the punishment for acts of homosexuality is death. Prophet Muhammad did say that you should kill that person. There's no prescribed method of killing or executing these people. The issue was just to, if you do find them guilty, then you have best, you best remove them from the site. Now, where's the woke crowd, huh? Where is the woke crowd in America who is expressing condemnation? Where are the protests in front of this seminary? Okay. Oh, yes, that's exactly right. The woke movement can migrate to Washington, D.C., can illegally picket and protest in front of Supreme Court justices' houses. Supreme Court, all they did was follow the U.S. Constitution and then put, let's see, the Dodd case puts it back on the states as far as states' rights following the 10th Amendment. And yet the intolerance of Islam has reared its ugly head once again, and there's absolute crickets. And nobody, it appears that nobody in the Department of Illinois Education has done their homework, and they have failed the people, they have failed the taxpayers, they have failed the students of their state, especially Chicago. Acts of homosexuality have a death sentence. Prophet Muhammad did say that you should kill that person. That's the mindset. This is what's going to be taught. This is the Sharia, in other words. And yet there's no outrage on the part of the people of Illinois, nor in the United States. Where's the outrage of holding the Department of Education in Illinois accountable? Amin repeated this advice in another Doral Kasim talk in May 2022. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. August, July, June, May. So that was 4 months ago under the old math. You see how they did? You go back, you go, we're August, July, June, May. Just 4 months ago, less than 4 months ago, during a talk about the punishment of homosexuals, declaring that the punishment for extramarital sex is to be stoned, he also despaired that other American Muslims get onto the bandwagon of liberal movement and they assume everybody in the United States is with the gay movement. So again, here he is just 4 months ago, less than 4 months ago, and the state education department in Illinois goes deaf, dumb, and blind. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I see these types of actions occur where you have the governments going deaf, dumb, and blind, it just reminds me of how successful the Muslim Brotherhood Explanatory Memorandum has become in our time, in the 21st century. For a document that was written back, what, in 1994, it was found in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And here you have that very situation in the state of Illinois, thanks to the Illinois Department of Education. You know, you talk about sabotaging its miserable house. This should have been condemned by the Department of Education in Illinois. This should have been a reason for not granting this devout fundamental Islamic seminary an accredited college status. I mean, we have so many things going on in the United States. We have the woke culture tearing apart our Constitution. We have the destructive Democrat Party tearing the very fabric of our liberties and freedoms. And then we have, on the other side, we also have the Islamic movement, who is implementing their agenda, their radical and extreme agenda, their fundamentalism, folks. It's called fundamentalism. And the Department of Education in Illinois has been complicit in helping to facilitate the Muslim Brotherhood's mission to destroy America from within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the accreditation for Darul Qasim, this is the school, means access to federal funding and subsidies. It means legitimacy, power, and taxpayer assistance afforded to a madrasa not serving general American Muslim interests, but working to advance the agenda of a specific radical sect, being the Diabandis, and whose faculty members openly advocate a medieval system of justice. The Illinois Board of Higher Education, it seems, is helping to ensure that the next generation of Muslim imams and chaplains in America will have been Islamically trained. And Amin, the leader, discussed premarital relationships. He explained, how do you punish such people? So the Quran says this is the way you punish such people first. You flog each one of them, the boy and the girl, the man and the woman, 100 lashes. And in most cases, 100 lashes is essentially a death sentence because the trauma is so bad and so serious. And then they say also is that women should not leave the house for fear of a laxation in morals, especially in light of the immodesty and fitna, which is rife in this day and age, meaning especially in America.
So why migrate?
Travesty of justice.
Well, someone who can shed some light on this travesty, I think. I see his hand up. I'm going to bring him in. Good evening, Holger. What's going on?
Well, you know, I couldn't. I tried to time it because you were talking about Illinois and you're talking about, you know, the wokeness of America and all this kind of good stuff. And I thought it was a good time to just point out some of the. Yeah, it's pretty easy to point out the hypocrisy of the left. I mean, it's basically their number one personality trait. But, you know, I look at this, you know, Griner, you know, is, you know, everybody's weeping and gnashing their teeth over her incarceration and so unfair, you know, because, of course, she's a minority, you know, in every sense of the word. She's a woman. She's apparently... supposedly, she's a lesbian, and she's black, okay? But, you know, you take a, you know, so everybody's crazed that they won't let her back in, you know, won't release her from Russia and all this kind of good stuff. But at the same time, you know, we've got a white guy who's a heterosexual and a Christian who we won't even let into the frickin' country to play goddamn tennis.
Oh my God, Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic. You know, they won't let him in. You know, he's too big a threat. You know, yeah. Half the people in the stadium aren't vaccinated, but by God, it's too dangerous to have him in there.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure that one out yet.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. I wanted to just bring this up because I think it's, you know, I think the most frustrating thing for people in this country right now is, you know, first of all, is the fact that we absolutely can't find the truth of anything. The truth is long gone. Truth is the new dodo bird. It's extinct. Nobody knows the truth. And... you know what we're seeing is just absolutely a society that has become so skewed into one person's feelings blossoming into basically the new rule of law kind of a thing. I mean, it's not social media anymore. It's fascist media. It's become, and I'll just give you an example. Okay, I live in Minnesota. One of our neighbors to the west and to the north is North Dakota. Okay, I would challenge that anybody to come up with a more conservative state than North Dakota, okay? I mean, the only states that would rival North Dakota as more conservative might be Wyoming, and I would have used to have said Oklahoma, but that's gone now. So I would say Wyoming and North Dakota are kind of in a race for who's the most conservative.
Okay.
Well, in North Dakota, the University of North Dakota is in Grand Forks. Okay, and they're not, you know, especially known for their sporting teams at the University of North Dakota. Not nearly as much as North Dakota State is for football, but the University of North Dakota has always been a powerhouse in one sport, hockey. So when people would see the University of North Dakota, you know, hockey team playing, they would see the banner for the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux.
Okay.
Okay. Well, years ago, when all of the woke, you know, the first signs of wokeism in this goddamn country started with all this BS about these team names, you know, and mascots and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was obviously racist and oppressive that the University of North Dakota could possibly be referred to as the Fighting Sioux.
From New Mexico.
You know.
Okay.
And just a little tidbit for your listeners. There was a guy, his last name was Engelstadt. This guy was used to play hockey for the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux. Pretty good hockey player, actually. And so then he graduated from North Dakota, and he became a very wealthy, well-to-do man. Imagine that. Conservative state, conservative school. He turns out to be a raging success. So he goes, when all this shit broke, he comes to the University of North Dakota and says, you know, by the way, we're one of the best hockey teams in the country, and we've got, like, the worst frickin' arena. So here, guys, I got $100 million to give you to build a new arena. $100 million in Grand Forks, North Dakota is a big sum of money.
Sure.
He said, here's $100 million with one stipulation. You never change the name of the school from the Fighting Sioux.
Wow. Really?
So they took his frickin' money.
Okay.
They built the arena, and just 10 years later, they dropped the name of the Fighting Sioux, and you know what else they did? They put a statue of Sitting Bull 30 feet outside the entrance to Engelstadt Arena. So, anyway, the reason I bring this all up is, Vito, I'm not sure about you, Al, but Vito, I know you're a college football fan.
Yep.
What's the name of the University of Illinois?
Fighting Illini?
What's their team name?
The Fighting Illini, right?
Fighting Illini. Okay, so let's just do a little research here. The Illinois Confederation, also referred to as the Illini-WEC or Illini, were made up of 12 to 13 tribes who lived in the Mississippi River Valley, okay? So the state of Illinois is actually a tribe of Indians that lived in that part of the country when it was settled by the Europeans, okay? So if you look across the country, one of the most liberal states in the entire country is Illinois. I would say probably fourth behind California, New York, Massachusetts, and that would put them fourth.
Okay.
So you mentioned coincidence. Is it just a coincidence that the Fighting Sioux tribe was ostracized and forced by the NCAA to drop that malicious racist name. But the most liberal state, one of the most liberal states in the country, is able to keep the Fighting Illini in Illinois.
You saying it's a coincidence? Certainly it's a coincidence.
Well, it's got to be.
Right.
It can't be rational thought.
No.
Because North Dakota had to get rid of theirs because you can't have a derogatory, you know, a violent fighting Indian name. Fighting Sioux is obviously 10 times worse than Fighting Illini, you know. Fighting Sioux is worse than Fighting Chippewa. But, you know,
you're trying to make sense out of the crazy.
But this is my whole point.
One of the tribes was named the Winnebagoes, and they named the RV after them, the Fighting Winnebagoes. People drive the Winnebago all over the country, and nobody says a darn thing about it. I'm offended.
So the North Dakota Fighting Sioux became the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Okay.
Wow.
So my suggestion is that the University of Illinois becomes the University of Illinois Fighting Lesbians. Oh, that's right. They don't have arguments or fight marital spats or anything. It's the perfect world there.
I thought it would be the Fighting Schmollets. That would be the ones.
Yeah. And if that's the case, you know,
we give you a looking.
If you want to take wokeism to the nth degree, I think the frickin' mayor of Chicago should have to change your goddamn last name.
Yeah, that's
Lightfoot,
correct.
You know, you can't be using an Indian name like Lightfoot, you know, in that scenario. Anyway.
Well, you know,
I thought it was almost interesting.
I noticed that this is probably more on Hank's topics, but this also goes with Jalen Rose wanting to cancel Mount Rushmore and change the name. And it's like, you know, this has become an absolute sickness. And this whole woke and Marxist movement. And, you know, thankfully, Governor Gnomes told him, you know, this is not going to happen on my watch. But when she's gone, you know, certainly if another leftist is put into that position, elected as governor, you know, is this going to come up? Jalen Rose, he has so much more to worry about than Mount Rushmore. How is Mount Rushmore offensive? You know what I find offensive? I find the ignorance and the stupidity of Jalen Rose offensive. And this goes to your point, you know, canceling the Fighting Sioux. I mean, I guess we could rename it the Fighting Sioux from New Mexico, and that kind of tempers it a little bit, okay? Because now you have a woman's name in there, okay? And now we, you know, the Fighting Illini is okay, which is made up of 11 tribes, but we're going to put a statue of Sitting Bullshit in front of the arena in North Dakota. I mean, this is insane what we're seeing today. It's absolute insanity.
They got rid of the Washington Redskins, made them the Washington Generals. The Atlanta Braves managed to stay the Atlanta Braves if they got rid of Chief Nakahoma. Yeah. The Florida State Seminoles remain the Florida State Seminoles because the Seminole tribe is making money off of the name. And they said, screw you, to the woke crowd.
And the only reason that the Kansas City Chiefs are still the Kansas City Chiefs is because, you know, some of the most ornery people in this country are in Missouri. They're going to fight
the
nail, man.
Yeah, and the moral of the story is you stand up to these bullies, these Marxist bullies, and then they go away.
Absolutely.
If you let them get away with anything, they're going to take a – they'll keep coming at you because they smell weakness, but you fight them head to head, they run away like the little bitches that they are.
Well, Bigfoot said it best that it's the fighting birds are offensive to birds, right? The fighting hawks are offensive to birds. Go ahead, Holger.
So I just have one last thing, and then I'm off the phone. I did want to just point out, because you had touched on this boondoggle of a bill that just got – did it it passed the Senate. Is that, is it got to go to the House now?
It does. It does. And I've got a nice rant about that. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right. So, but the thing I wanted to interject on this is this, is I have seen the other day, I saw on Twitter, a guy had laid out, it was some slide that showed the tax increases. You know, so it said like, okay, if for families making like $90,000, your tax would go up like, you know, 18%. If you're a family making $60,000, your taxes would go up like 12% and all this kind of good stuff. And so what I had done is I had sent out a tweet, and I think this is, you know, I'm not usually that good or, you know, worth thinking about, but
Wait a minute. Here is Joe Obama in his own words.
Let's talk about the economy.
Yes.
You are proposing several trillion dollars in new spending over the next decade for economic relief, education, health care. How are you going to pay for that?
By writing the tax code. You got billionaires in this country making $700 billion during this crisis. $700 billion.
He wants to terminate the tax cuts that we gave you. So that
the former vice president has pledged to undo the Trump tax cuts for corporations and wealthy Americans. He'd raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. He'd also raise taxes on people making more than $400,000 a year, and the top rate would be 39.6%.
Nobody making less than $400,000 will pay a penny more in tax under my proposal.
There you go. You heard it straight from the liar in chief's mouth. Nobody making more than $400,000 would have a penny raised in taxes. How could it be? You just said somebody, a family making $90,000 a year is going to go 18%. Are you sure that was a misprint? It wasn't $490,000? How could that be? Are you saying that Joe Obama lied? I'm finding this hard to believe.
I sent the tweet out, and I said, Joe Biden, colon, quote, read my lips. No new taxes for anyone making under $400,000 a year, end quote. You remember, we had a guy as president of the United States of America who lost re-election to a perverted guy with a wife whose ankles are the same size as her thighs. He lost that election because of three fucking words. Read my lips. George H.W. Bush said, read my lips, no new taxes.
New taxes.
So Congress passed through a bill and he signed the thing that raised taxes, and it blew him out of the water. He lost because he said, read my lips.
My lips.
So I think it will be interesting that all the people back in those days that said, oh my God, we were lied to by the president. We've got to vote him out of office and elect this really nice guy from Arkansas. Because he's always going to tell us the truth. Even tells the truth about blue dresses. You know, but I mean, that's the point. That's going to be one of the defining moments is whether or not the people are going to hold any sense to that statement that you just played. I mean, you just played what he said, and now it's been blown out of the water. And my final point is this, is I've been paying a lot of attention to Twitter. I've been paying a lot of attention to what people are saying on the street and stuff. And this bill is, do you remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but McCain, remember when McCain sided with the Democrats in the Senate on amnesty? And they were trying to, the Gang of Eight got together. I think it was McCain and Rubio and some others got together with Schumer and those guys, and they were ramming through that amnesty for illegals. And the whole country, like, frickin' blew up. I mean, the phones in the U.S. Senate absolutely started to melt down. The American people went absolutely apeshit. Because it's one of the only times I can remember in this country where the people actually stopped something. And they abandoned that. They abandoned that amnesty thing. And I see this bill, I don't know what it is, if it's just because, you know, some pimple-faced Obama college kid came up with this moronic marketing 101 name of Inflation Reduction Act, you know, and the people of the country finally just said, okay, we know you think we're stupid, but we that is taking it too far. And I'm convinced that this is going to cause, this is going to be like the stamp tax in 1773. It's going to be like the stamp tax. I just have this gut feeling because people are pissed about what this is going to mean. And you can imagine what's going to happen when, I mean, 8 months from now, do you think there's anybody 8 months from now is going to, like, go to Joe Biden in the press conference room and say, so, Joe, inflation hasn't gone down.
Well,
we spent one point whatever trillion, and inflation hasn't gone down.
Come on, man. You know that the Republicans they caused this, man. They are the reason that we're not getting through you know, I was talking about this back in Scranton, and I got it, you know, you just have to know that you just got to give it oh, man, come on.
Yep. Well, I think this is an example of where the Democrats, you know, finally pushed something a little bit too far, okay? And, I mean, obviously I've gotten to the point now where I don't think there's anything that will push the American people to stand up against anything. But I just get a different sense that people are really freaking pissed. And I think part of it is because they know it's going to happen. And so when all of a sudden these people got to start paying 10, 12, 15, 18, 20% more in taxes, and yet, you know, their favorite, you know, T-bone steak is still at $22.99 a pound, I think it's going to blow up.
So. I hope you're right, Holger. I really do. And you know, you can try to sell this and market this in so many different ways. And it's funny because Al and I were talking before the show, and we were talking about the inflation reduction. And he said, do you know that they renamed it after the Senate passed it? They called it the climate change bill. They actually were calling it the climate change bill. Not the Inflation Reduction Act, but the climate change bill. This is how desperate they are.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, to dupe the American people. What was? Yeah. Let's see. Right here. The here we go. Prior to the 5150 passage of the massive $700+ billion Democrat spending bill, they called it the Inflation Reduction Act. However, after Senate passage, they are now calling it the climate change bill. Funny how that happens.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Can you believe that? I mean, see, this is how dishonest the Democrats are. And I'll tell you, this got my ire as well. It's gotten, you know, as you said, Twitter is blowing up over it. You have social media platforms are. And, you know, it's funny how the Democrats are going deaf, dumb, and silent. It truly is. This thing is – and then you see the pictures of Chuck Schumer, who is
you know, he's elated, he's gleeful, and then you have them say, oh, you know, Chuck Schumer played McConnell. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. They're all part of the same system. They're all part of the one-party system. Really, I'm not going to give it away. Go ahead. Finish up.
Well, I went, you know, I sent another tweet out yesterday, and I said, is it just a coincidence that the acronym for the Inflation Reduction Act, the acronym for that, of course, being IRA, is the same as a terror group? You know, in other words, the Irish Republican Army. When you say the name change, that makes sense because some leftist with maybe a little bit of sense left in his body must have probably said, you know, we're kind of setting ourselves up because 9 months from now, you got this clown face out in Minnesota named Holger that said that 9 months the inflation is not going to go down and they're going to want their money back. We want our money back. And I'll leave it with that point. Since when did the American people give up the right to ask for their fucking money back?
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
So in other words, I elected you Joe Chump representative, or I elected you Miss Fruitcake Senator. I elected you. You just spent $8 trillion of my money and got a squat. I want my frickin' money back. You know, if I spent $75,000 on a new electric car and the battery gave out in 2 months, I'd ask for my money back. And I'd get my money back. So when we spend $2-5 trillion, how come we can't get our money back? It's our money. It's not their money. It's our money.
Well, so, but Hoser,
I might start a new political party called "We Want Our Fucking Money Back."
But Hoser, we in Washington D.C. invest your money. This is an investment. The government is investing. You are a grateful bastard from Minnesota.
Yeah, well, I've seen Bernie Sanders' mansions. I've seen the investment. I've seen where my taxes go.
Yeah.
I've seen all that fancy ice cream that Nancy Pelosi shoves into her mouth every day. All right, boys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Hey, great call, Holger.
Hey.
All right.
Anytime,
you guys,
Holger.
You
thank
bet.
You for
bye
investing
bye.
Your time with us.
You know, Holger brought up some great points, and actually, Al, I think this is a perfect segue into my rant for tonight, and it is on the budget, and you and I can discuss this, and anybody else who'd like to call in after I'm done. If you believe, folks, that even thought that Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia was a moderate, you were duped. Joe Manchin is no centrist nor a moderate. He's a Democrat. He's part of the establishment. And in the end, he held out for what? He held out for higher taxes. He held out for higher taxes on businesses yet. America, under the failed leadership and the feckless policies of Joe Obama, has experienced the highest inflation in over 40 years. Gas prices reaching record highs. Grocery prices reaching record highs. And what is the destructive Democrat Party's answer? It's to raise taxes. The same old tired, failed progressive policies which placed America in the fiscal mess that we are in today. The theatrics over the last few months to paint both Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Christine Sinema of Arizona as moderates for holding up the Biden, Schumer, Pelosi partisan spending spree is naive at best. Americans have been duped. The theatrics is what the partisan Democrat Party is all about. After all, they did hire a TV producer to conduct their January 6th theatrical commission, and spending is what the partisan Democrat Party is all about. It's the confiscation of wealth and the redistribution of taxpayer money is all the tired, compromised, and polluted progressives know. The Democrat Party is dangerous. The Democrat Party is deceptive and destructive. Spending, spending, and more spending done strictly on a partisan way. But folks, the Republican Party is not absolved with the Washington, D.C. theatrics. Instead of taking the past 5 months to expose the fiscal fraud in Washington, D.C., the GOP remained quiet and complied with partisan Pelosi and Shyster Schumer's theatrics. The new bill, the $740 billion, which was supposedly agreed upon after Senator Manchin caved and said a theatric cinema played the holdout actress, is nothing more than fiscal irresponsibility. The destructive Democrat Party found a new way to confiscate taxpayer money and to redistribute taxpayer money with their latest ruse, the scheme to finance the climate change green cult. Now, did I mention America has experienced soaring inflation over the past 18 months since Joe Obama was installed, the highest inflation in 40 years? Bigfoot's paying $4.29 a gallon for gas in Maryland. How has a destructive Democrat Party proposed to stem soaring inflation? By raising taxes and creating new wasteful spending sprees, such as the climate change green scam. The strictly partisan progressive Democrat Party passed a $740 billion spending spree, which again was voted strictly along party lines, 50-50 in the U.S. Senate, with Vice President Cackles casting the deciding vote for 51 votes for the Democrat Party. Now, it was safe for all Republicans to vote no, knowing the Senate is a 50-50 split and Harris would cast a deciding vote. In the end, both Manchin and Sinema held out for what? They held out for higher taxes. They held out for raising taxes on all Americans, as Holdren stated, which is all the Democrat Party knows, which is all Washington, D.C. politicians know, raise taxes and spend money. This is a $740 billion Democrat Party inflation spending bill. And if you know nothing else, with primary elections being held and the upcoming midterm election in November, know this, and the previous $3.7 trillion plus spending spree was written by Democrat-controlled Congress. This has been a Democrat Party spending spree. Remember, the U.S. government does not invest taxpayer money. They use the words like invest. The word investment, when politicians use it, it's intentionally used to deceive and disarm the American people. The Democrat Party narrative is to state the single biggest investment in climate change in U.S. history. What an irresponsible and deceptive statement. Government does not invest taxpayer money. The U.S. government spends taxpayer money. You know, boy, in this Congress and the charlatan in the White House, spending taxpayer money has been their priority. So let me ask you, how is hiring 80,000 IRS agents investing taxpayer money? You have just swelled the U.S. government payroll by a minimum of 80,000 new employees. Why is the Democrat Party intent on weaponizing the IRS? Why haven't the Republicans exposed these Gestapo tactics by the Democrat Party? Why is increasing the IRS by 80,000 employees, swelling government payrolls, and at taxpayer expense not been a Republican Party unified message? Why is Biden, Harris, Pelosi, and Schumer weaponizing the IRS? This $740 billion bill was a Democrat Party crafted bill. No Republican input was allowed. So I'll tell you why. It's about control and to attack the American people, to attack and intimidate small business. Why else would you need 80,000 new employees? You need them to attack and intimidate medium and big business. You need them to attack free enterprise. You need them to attack capitalism. You know, those evil gas stations raising prices. Those evil grocery stores raising prices. But who in the end pays for these Gestapo taxes by Washington, D.C. politicians? It's the middle class. It's jobs. It's jobs. It's jobs. Congress continues spending so recklessly on authoritarian projects such as hiring 80,000-plus new IRS agents is the prime example. So now we have the destructive Democrat Party weaponizing the IRS to use as a political weapon against we the people. And remember, the Democrat Party controls the media, so they control the narrative. One party, the Democrat Party, has engaged in censoring speech in America. Remember, the destructive Democrat Party is all about control and power. The power includes a partisanship with even more reckless spending on their green scam initiatives, selling out the American people. What is the $740 billion boondoggle called? Inflation Reduction Act. Because Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer and the rest of the destructive Democrats think we, the people, are stupid. They coin these inclusive, sensitive names meant to deceive we the people. The deceptive Democrat Party is not just destructive. They are dishonest. There is a coordinated and intentional effort to pass reckless and massive spending bills as we've witnessed firsthand these past 18 months. Spending as we've never seen before. The federal deficit rising out of control despite rising revenues. An addiction like a heroin addict needing another fix. All while the Democrat Party has been the majority in Congress along with their charlatan occupying the White House. And I'll say this about the destructive Democrat Party. They remain cohesive. There is no honor nor integrity with the Democrats nor the Democrat Party. It's all about party loyalty over patriotism. It's about party loyalty over principles. There are no ethics with the Democrat Party, as we witness with the Biden crime family, the Clinton cartel, the Burisma Ukraine usurpers, and of course the partisan spending spree, to name a few. And one more thing. There is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. And this latest $740 billion inflation increasing spending spree is yet another example. Remember, the Democrats, it's party loyalty, and all the soldiers get behind their Gestapo leaders, as minions like Manchin and Sinema proved this past week. There is one voice in Congress, and the Gestapo controls that voice. If there was truly a two-party system in Washington, D.C., in Congress, we the people would be properly represented, and America would come first. The question is, are the Republicans simply playing along with the charade of the so-called two-party system? The Democrat Party, when in power, controls Congress with a strong arm. There are no outside of the Democrat Party voices or proposals allowed, as we've seen with the $3, $4 trillion spending spree over the last just 18 months. The Republicans are second-class citizens omitted from the political legislative process, as was done in the latest inflation-increasing $740 billion spending spree, which means the American people, we the people, are not being represented in Washington, D.C. For the $4 trillion reckless spending spree bills amassed in the last 18 months, the Republicans in both houses of Congress had no say. They were all Democrat-crafted spending sprees. This is how destructive and deceptive the Democrat Party works when in power. Yes, you know, some rhino Republicans crossed the aisle to vote with the Democrats. However, keep in mind, they were voting on Democrat-crafted spending legislation. Yet, when the Republican minority in Congress remains and remain pretty quiet. Why not expose the authoritarian actions of the Gestapo leadership in the House and the Senate? You know, should the Republicans take back power after the midterms and win either the House or the Senate or both chambers for that matter, will the Republican leaderships display a backbone? Will they have the same backbone as the Krats? Will the Republican Party remain cohesive and steadfast as their destructive counterparts have been when they are in power and running roughshod over the U.S. Constitution and return our constitutional powers stolen by the Democrat Party? Folks, you know, when the Democrats are in the minority, there will be cries and whines from the Democrats to work together and will use their empty terms such as bipartisanship. And even though the term bipartisanship does not exist when Gestapo Democrats are at the helm, such as right now, will a milquetoast McCarthy tell Democrats to pound sand? The last 18 months, while the deceptive and destructive Democrats have wielded power, there has been no bipartisanship with any fiscal legislation. None. And again, the Gestapos run Congress with a strong arm. It is their way, and you will comply. And Republicans have submitted. The question is, have the Republicans learned their lesson? Is it even a lesson of learning, or simply being complicit in dismantling our constitutional republic? Does the GOP really want the power, or they simply are complicit in how the American people are being played by the political machine in Washington, D.C.? And oh, by the way, this inflation bill is now called the climate change bill. Al, I am not buying this whole climate change scheme, and you have a breakdown of how this $740 billion is being wasted. I'm sorry, being spent. I mean, being invested by this reckless and out of control government.
Well, you're right, and the bill itself contains absolutely nothing that will lower inflation. In fact, the bill itself will raise supply-side inflation in direct proportion to the energy production it reduces. Here are the numbers: $369 billion on energy and climate efforts, $300 billion in green loan guarantees, $80 billion to double the number of IRS agents to conduct audits, and we'll get back to that one, $60 billion for environmental justice initiatives, $9 billion in tax credits for wealthy families to buy electric vehicles, $2.6 billion to conserve coastal habitats, and then $1.5 billion to plant trees. Where is there inflation reduction anywhere in that bill?
I like this one. $60 billion for environmental justice initiatives. I mean, you want to talk about a politically correct, you know, left-wing term, $60 billion for environmental justice initiatives. Oh, should we play kumbaya? It's environmental justice initiatives. Oh, you know, are you planting a tree? You actually took a wrong tree down. Oh, environmental justice. I mean, this is insane. I mean, and green loans, $300 billion in green loan guarantees. You know, we've already have the college tax credit guarantees, right? The college tuition guarantees. Now we're going to forgive, you know, the taxpayers funded those college tuitions, okay, on the front end, and now the taxpayers are paying for it on the back end because Joe Obama unilaterally started forgiving college loans, and now we're going to have green loan guarantees. Can you imagine the abuse and the fraud with green loan guarantee? $300 billion in green loan guarantees.
Well, we already experienced those with Solyndra and the boondoggle that they were, and the corruption that Solyndra loan guarantees were to Democrat donors and Democrat solar companies. They gave enough money to the Democrats, they got money. And it ended up being a big failure.
Oh, boy, you know, isn't it ironic how this has come full circle? So you had George W. Bush administration deny Solyndra a loan because they knew they were not financially stable, and then you had Obama Biden come in 2009, and they funded Solyndra, huh? And now we're here, you know, we're 10 years later, 12 years later, you've got Biden coming in with these green guarantees. Very good. That's really good.
But I tell you, you know what scares me the most? In addition to all that, the $80 billion to double the number of IRS agents to conduct audits.
Oh.
Right now we have people, illegal aliens, coming through the border. President Biden sees each of these illegal aliens as future Democrat voters. Whatever illegal crimes they commit and they're breaking the law, be damned. But now he's $80 billion to go after law-abiding citizens who pay their taxes. And is this federal taxes, of which only about 20% of the population pay anyway?
You know, I don't know where the outrage is. I don't know where the Republicans are, you know, why they haven't exploited this. I know early on I heard Ted Cruz talking about this, about the weaponizing of the IRS and the hiring of 80,000 IRS agents. I think it was also Senator Hawley had also pointed out like 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. But isn't it interesting? There's been very little discussion about this and you know, $80 billion. There are approximately 1,000 billionaires in the United States, about 1,000. Now, if you're saying, if your sales pitch, okay, and we all know that Joe Obama he has a problem with the truth. He's a liar, okay? And now he's going to go after billionaires for not paying their fair share, okay, because that's the progressive slogan, fair share. You have 1,000 billionaires. Now, you tell me, how much can you recoup over $80 billion, okay? First of all, you've got billionaires who have very good attorneys and they have very good tax accountants. And those tax accountants are using, you know, tax methods and laws that were written by Joe Obama and his ilk over the last 40 years. So they're following their rules, okay? They're following the guidelines set up by the feckless fraud, okay, the charlatan in the White House. So you tell me how much of that $80 billion would be recouped. So you're not going to go just after billionaires, are you? You're going to start going after small businessmen. You're going to start going after the American citizen. This is incredible what we're seeing today. Oh, my God. Is it the FBI raided Trump's house in Palm Beach? Did you see that?
No, that's breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt the thought here.
No. Hell no, you know. These Democrats, they play hardball. They don't mess around.
Yeah.
I mean, in a weird way, you got to kind of respect their resolve, and then we have Mitch McConnell, milquetoast rich. Mitch.
You know, that's
now
why I
said. Now they're raiding the president. They're raiding Mar-a-Lago? For God's sakes.
Yeah, this is.
Story say? Did you pull it up?
Yeah, I did. FBI, Trump confirms FBI raided and occupied his Florida home at Mar-a-Lago. Former President Trump said Monday the FBI agents raided and occupied a Florida home. Trump said in a message on a social media, currently under siege due to the claim he was prosecutorial misconduct. Nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary nor appropriate. And he's right. He's absolutely right. I mean, again, this is the Democrat Party in control, and they're weaponizing the IRS. They're weaponizing the FBI. Obama did it during his reign of terror. Okay, he did it when he went after members of the press, i.e. Jesse Waters and his family. It was not Jesse Waters. It was, oh gosh, I forgot his name. it's right on the tip of my tongue. He was with Fox News. They went after him and his family when they went after the Tea Party, and they used the IRS to weaponize against the Tea Party. You know, I don't care what you say about the Tea Party, whether you're for it or not. The fact is that the federal government, and it was the Obama-Biden administration, used the IRS to go after a political party. And there was absolute silence on it. And what it did destroy the Tea Party. But there was no structure with the Tea Party. But the fact is that they used the IRS to go after the nonprofit status. And, you know, that's pretty sick in America. Yeah, I don't see anybody going after it. I don't see the Democrat Party using the IRS or nor the FBI to go after Antifa or BLM, the radical anti-American destructive groups. No, as a matter of fact, they use them as their strong-arm tactics, the Democrat Party, don't they? So now they've gone after President Trump, former President Trump, raided his Mar-a-Lago. And, of course, you know, the useful idiots in the Democrat Party, well, insurrection. There was no insurrection on January 6th. There was none. And as a matter of fact, Biden and Obama did more civil unrest with regards to the Dodd ruling by the Supreme Court in undermining the rule of law and broke the law and incited to violence their base. You want to talk about insurrection? You want to talk about the executive branch using their status as a bully pulpit to manhandle the judicial branch of government and then to bypass the rule of law? This is what dictators do. This is exactly what dictators do. President Xi of China would be so proud of his little minion, Joe Biden.
Yeah, according to the news story, they even broke into his safe.
Oh, my God, really?
Can you imagine? And he's cooperating with I guess there's a couple of lawsuits. I mean, they're filing lawsuits for everything against this guy and his family. They haven't nailed them on one. Meanwhile, you've got Hunter Biden's laptop out there still producing actionable material.
Yeah.
And they're doing nothing.
Including child porn.
Yeah. I mean, not that one equals the other or trying to find a moral equivalence here, but this laptop has been in play for over 2 years and nothing's been done. The FBI has denied its even existence.
Boy, oh boy.
And now they're raiding Mar-a-Lago. They're trying to keep him from running. They do not want him to run.
That is exactly true. That is exactly 100% true. James Rosen, thank you. That's who it was. I was trying to, yes, that Obama went after, James Rosen and his family. Yeah, they used the IRS, and now they're using the FBI. And the FBI can't find who the individual was that leaked the draft in the Supreme Court, okay? But they can go and they can go after former President Trump. And you know why? As you absolutely were right, Al, because they don't want Trump to run. That's the bottom line. The January 6th commission has been a hoax. It's been a failure. Okay, mm-hmm. They pranced out witnesses who lied under oath. They were proven liars, and of course, the media absolutely distracted from the fact, but the American people would know the truth. The real problem with Donald Trump is this. He goes to the Midwest, and 25, 30,000 people, even more, are attending his rallies. He goes down to Georgia, 25, 30,000 people are attending his rallies. He goes to Texas, 25, 30, Arizona, the middle of nowhere in Arizona, 25,000 people, 5 miles of traffic. People are coming from all over, converging from all over the United States. Why? Because President Trump exposed how corrupt Washington, D.C. truly is. And we are witnessing it firsthand just in the last 18 months, the chronic lying by Joe Biden. The chronic lying by Congress, the strong-arm tactics, and the usurping of the U.S. Constitution by this administration, by this government, by members of Congress, the leadership of Congress, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And it's an absolute disgrace what we're seeing. And folks, it's reprehensible what we're seeing. And then we're sold a bill of goods by the media in this country. We're sold a bill of goods that Joe Manchin was a centrist, that Kristen Sinema is a moderate. Bull. It's an absolute lie. Yeah, and you know, good point, Holger. Merrick Garland. So who ordered the raid of the Mar-a-Lago compound? Was it Merrick Garland? And if it was Merrick Garland, see, Merrick Garland still harbors a lot of resentment to the Republicans for not confirming him on the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm sure, you know, by putting this guy in this position now of heading the Department of Justice as Attorney General, he is going after any and all Republicans, and he doesn't care what type of fascist and Gestapo tactics he uses in doing so. God almighty.
Yep, this is breaking news 30 minutes ago.
Man, I'll tell you, this is, you know, the Democrat Party's put things on fast track. They really have. They have put things on fast track that they are carrying out and executing in such rapid fashion. They've showed no remorse over the rising of prices in America. The inflation at record high for 40 years, gas prices record high, oil prices record high, heating oil record high, grocery prices soaring out of control, and they've not addressed it. And suddenly, when gas prices start going down, albeit by 10 cents or 20 cents, the American family now is saving $70 a year. Go fuck yourself. Okay, right now we're paying 200% more for gas. And now suddenly when gas prices are artificially going down, you decide that you're going to now comment. But for one year, while gas prices were soaring out of control and the American people now have to reach into their savings in order to pay for things, including groceries, because their weekly checks, their paychecks weren't covering the nut, because suddenly they came up with an additional $240 for a month, $300, $600 for a month. Oh, wait a minute. We got to feed our family. We got to put gas in our car. I can't afford to travel anymore. I can't afford to travel back and forth to work 5 days a week and then put food on the table for my family of four based on my current payroll, my current salary. And of course, there was absolute silence from this White House. Absolute silence from Joe. He went absolutely brain dead once again. And now gas prices go down by 10 cents or 15 cents a gallon, which is still 200% higher than January 20th, 2021. And now he feels compelled where he's pounding his chest and saying, look what we did. We took gas prices down. Go fuck yourself, Joe. You didn't do that. You did it by what? Releasing oil from the strategic oil reserves. Not only that, you were selling oil to communist China from our national security reserves, our strategic oil reserves. And you're begging to Russia to produce more. You're begging Venezuela for more oil. You're begging the Saudis to produce more oil. Well, in the meantime, you're shutting down America from being energy independent. And now, of course, they're going after Trump. They don't like Donald Trump. Trump being an outsider, you know, I got to thinking about this. For 40 years, we heard how difficult it was to run a government. You know, this is a tough job. You know, it's prioritizing and the rules and regulations and all these departments. It's very difficult. And then Trump comes in. And in less than 3 years, he makes America energy independent. He starts having his departments remove onerous regulations because Trump believed in the American spirit. He believed in the American way. He believed in unleashing America's greatest strength, and that's free enterprise, which has been the Democrat Party and actually the Washington, D.C. institution's biggest problem. They don't like free enterprise and they don't like capitalism. And it's about control. And in 3 years, Donald Trump made it look so easy that America could be a thriving nation once again and a leader at that. Powers that be in Washington, D.C. absolutely don't like that because they want that control. They want to be in control of we the people. And, you know, I don't know if there will be another civil war. We certainly hope there will not be. But I'll tell you, Holzer made a good point about the Stamp Act, right? When people went crazy, the American people rose up, and now we're seeing it again with another $740 billion spending spree and all of this climate change green scam, and that's exactly what it is. You know, you don't have a problem with planting trees because it's good for the environment, but let free enterprise do that. You know, when logging companies, you know, when they start chopping down trees, they plant more trees. And nobody talks about that. And why are we giving $9 billion tax credit for wealthy families to buy electric cars? If anybody can afford an electric car at $55,000 per vehicle minimum, it would be wealthy families. And then you've got the taglines from the same old progressive liars. Well, the wealthy need to pay their fair share. Oh, but we're going to give them $9 billion in tax credits? $9 billion of taxpayer money? When that family of four, that middle class worker who's working 60 hours a week to put food on the table and to pay his expenses, okay, he is paying to give a wealthy family a tax credit to buy an electric car. All because this administration has a hard on for fossil fuel. Unbelievable what we're seeing today. Conserve coastal habitats. Oh, well, wait a minute. We have rising waters. Well, you know what? We may not have, the rising waters may not be that bad because wasn't it Michelle and Barack Obama who spent $14 million on a waterfront property? Well, if rising waters were so bad and the sea levels were going to increase, why in God's name did Obama buy a mansion on the water? I don't get it. So we're being lied to, Al, on a daily basis. We're being lied to by this out-of-control, controlling government. And let's face it, it's who is. Donald Trump is the bad guy in this whole thing. Oh, we got – I think
Hell,
we have another
– Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Pence is behind this in some way.
Well, you know, we do know that this guy's probably not behind it. He's back on the line. I guess we must have hit some sort of an accord there. So I think Holzer's back. Did you give us a speed dial?
Jeez, I'm telling you, two times in one day. I know it's too much to handle, but my God, I'll start out with a simple quotation: "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Okay, in my view, the federal government has just crossed the line of tyrannical behavior by invading and occupying the home of a former president. Okay, you know, the federal government spied on a presidential candidate. The federal government spied on a sitting president, and nobody even talks about it.
I know.
I mean, it's like it never happened. And I mean, I just pulled up Twitter, and one gal that I really respect her tweets. She's got a lot of followers. She just put this tweet out. She says, "Let's recap. In the last 24 hours, number one, Congress voted to weaponize the IRS further, more agents and literal firearms. Number two, Congress voted to raise taxes on the middle class. Number three, FBI raided the home of a former president. This is getting scary, guys."
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
And I wanted to call in just because this is scary. This is shit out of Orwell's 1984. I'm telling you, I know what it must have felt like for people living in New Zealand 25, 30 years ago. When all of a sudden you're rough and tough, you know, rugby players, and the next thing you know, you got the boot of the federal government on your fucking throat. I'm telling you, this is the most incredible thing I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I thought the most incredible thing was when they actually spied on a sitting president. But to literally go in, take over his home, go through his safe, and one of the other tweets I saw was this, is that the FBI didn't raid Trump's home because they think they've got something on him. They raided his home because they think he's got something on them.
That's, you know, isn't that something? Because he knows where some of the bodies are buried, right?
Yep. And one last thing I just wanted to pass on before I get off here. Your old friend who we miss being on your program, Claire Lopez, was on Breitbart Radio this morning on XM.
Okay.
And she mentioned, they were talking about Israel and they were talking about the Middle East and stuff. And I did not know this. I had not heard this. But she was explaining that when Biden, maybe you guys know it, but when Biden was in Israel, when he was meeting with the Israelis and stuff like in Tel Aviv, okay? So then he made a trip over to visit a clinic in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
okay? When they left to go to Jerusalem, they removed the Israeli flag from every vehicle on Biden's motorcade.
Yep.
You know, they put the little flags on where the antennas go.
Yes.
So when they went to Jerusalem, they took the Israeli flag off. So
the capital of the capital of Israel, and Al can probably talk about this more than I. But here again, why are the American Jews supporting the Democrat Party who does not support Israel? And Donald Trump was so bad that he was the only president in the last 40 years who truly supported Israel. It wasn't symbolism over substance. He put the money where his mouth is. And you know something? And again, he's vilified. And he's the only president, okay, in our lifetime that actually supported Israel unequivocally. Unequivocally.
I'll make the contention that we had a president who was elected in 2008 and served two terms, whose goal and desire was to see the complete and utter destruction of Israel. That is why he pushed and prodded for a nuclear deal with Iran. He saw the Iranians as the best bet to destroy and wipe Israel off the map. And Joe Biden is no different.
Agreed.
So
I agree.
Anyway, I just wanted to call in and just say that the message from the American people to the federal government has to be this. You crossed the line when you set your dirty boots in Mar-a-Lago. You crossed the line. If the FBI is going to knock down the door of a former president's home, you think they're going to stop at your front yard?
Nope.
You think those IRS agents are going to even announce themselves when they're brandishing those new ARs? I'm telling you, this is serious shit, boys.
And then if they make a mistake, then they're going to plant something on you, and they will take you down no matter what.
Well, there was another tweet saying that when the FBI was in Mar-a-Lago, they wondered how much stuff they planted. And in Trump's house.
Yeah.
Oh, well, wow, look what we found. We found a memo from Donald Trump to the leader of the Oath Keepers saying, okay, I can get you in the back door and blow up this guy and then make sure you take out Pelosi. Oh, my God. I swear to God, I'm going to lose my mind here.
How do you think this is going to play out, Holger? How do you think this is going to play out? What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I can't even imagine how the MSN, the mainstream media, can spin anything. I'm convinced they could make AIDS look like a vitamin pill that you want to take. It's going to be amazing to see how they spin this. What led the FBI to actually knock down the door of Trump's residence. I mean, this is going to be crazy. And, I don't know if it was Merrick Garland who ordered this or not. I don't know who literally gives the FBI orders. I mean, doesn't the head of the FBI actually report to the Attorney General? Isn't that, do I have that wrong?
Yes. No, you got it right. You have it right. And the Attorney General acts on behalf of the President of the United States. Go ahead.
So what I want to know, if there was actually a journalist alive in this frickin' country, I'd like to know if there was a memo that went from Liz Cheney to Merrick Garland requesting a raid of Mar-a-Lago. That's what I want to know.
Well, that's interesting because wasn't it just last week or 2 weeks ago before Joe Obama had contracted – oh, no, it was coming out of COVID. He held that odd press conference where he attacked President Trump, and he accused him of insurrection, and no president should act that way. And then 10 days later, now we have this raid on Mar-a-Lago. All this is no coincidence. And it's like Al said, the Democrat Party, the institution in D.C. does not want Trump to run again. They are trying every which way to destroy this man.
Absolutely. I haven't heard a peep from Cassidy Hutchinson for a month.
Yeah.
I think she's with Blasey Ford hanging out in some girl's safe house and on the coast.
Drinking a sherry.
They're having a girl
party. All right,
guys.
Catch you later.
Right. Thanks, Holger.
All right, good call.
Yep.
And really quick, Al, Holger made some good points. And again, we could rehash, the Donald Trump era that happened. But the issue is really simple. And this is what's frightening about this entire scenario with Trump. First of all, you had the Biden-Obama administration spy on candidate Trump. Then you had the FBI and Lisa Strzok and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. There's over 10,000 pages, documents of those two telling us how they were going to lead the way, or the FBI was going to lead the way in spying on President-elect Trump. And then you have the spying on President Trump. And then you have the false charges of the Russian collusion. And we find out in the Mueller report, page 2, that there was no collusion between Donald Trump and nor his campaign staff with the Russians. No collusion, okay? None. But we spend $30 million of taxpayer money in order to discredit then-president sitting Donald Trump. Just this past year, in 2022, we find out that Hillary Rodham Clinton and her attorney and her campaign was involved in creating a false Russian collusion narrative under the Steele document, okay? Steele dossier. And where is the outreach? Forget about the Republican and Democrat aspect of this thing, this party affiliation. Let's drop all that party noise. The issue is we have a federal government and we have players inside the government who are going after individuals. And it's gotten so bad. It is so bad what we are seeing today. There is absolute corruption in Washington, D.C. They're going after a former president. When, in fact, did they go after?
former President Clinton and the Epstein Island issue, they have not done a damn thing about that, and that's abusing women, abusing girls, possibly underage girls. And then you've got Barack Obama and his antics, okay, with Iran. You know, and but the issue is, let's take out Donald Trump. That's, I mean, because Donald Trump is commanding all these people. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, Reuters just put out, they're reporting that the investigation against Donald Trump comes after the U.S. National Archives and Records Administration in February notified Congress that it had recovered about 15 boxes of White House documents from Trump's Florida home, some of which contained classified materials. The U.S. House of Representatives Oversight Committee at that time announced it was expanding an investigation into Trump's actions and asked the archives to turn over additional information. Trump previously confirmed that he had agreed to return certain records to the archives, calling it, quote, an ordinary and routine process. So that is their, according to this story, if true, that is their reason for getting the search warrant. They're going to say it was for classified materials. Meanwhile,
oh, wait
you got
a minute.
Swalwell,
yeah,
living with a Chinese spy, and he's still on the committee. I'm sorry. Yeah, go on.
No. That's a great point. And what about Hillary Rodham Clinton? Where was the raid on her house, huh? Where was the raid on her house in Chippewa? Okay. With regards to the having a server, a personal server, and on all sensitive information in her house, okay, where was that? There was no raid there when she broke the law, huh? Matter of fact, she destroyed hard drives, she destroyed telephones, and huh? What about the Elwan brothers and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's still in the United States House, huh? And how she was in bed with these Iranian terrorists, huh? Where? And they're going after Trump?
Yeah, so the Democrat Maloney, who is heading up the department, she says, these new revelations deepen my concern about former President Trump's flagrant disregard for federal records laws and the potential impact on our historical record, Maloney said. The National Archives did not find anything they were given upon request of presidential records in an ordinary and routine process to ensure the preservation of my legacy in accordance with the Presidential Records Act, Trump said in a written statement. This is a hit job.
Yeah.
If these reports are true.
And Dick Morris thinks the raid is about the January 6th committee. Thanks, Annie.
I
just don't find Morris.
Point.
Yeah, I don't find Morris too credible anymore. I just think he's a bag of wind, but you know he could be right on this one. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think he's a media whore. I'm not a big fan. Anybody who turns, you know, he was Clinton's confidant, and then he turned on him. He flipped. You can't trust a flipper.
He's still 100%. Alive. I got to give him that credit. You know. He knows where the bodies are buried. He knows
that's
who Bill Clinton was banging. He's still alive.
You got a point there.
Oh, my God. This is what a kangaroo we're seeing. So, anyways, yeah, it's just what we're seeing today. And this Congress is out of control. The spending's out of control. And we have, you know, we've got the Muslim Brotherhood with their campaign to undermine America from within. And we have the Democrat Party undermining America from within.
Oh, wait, here's one more data point on this.
Okay.
At the end of the article, it says, claiming executive privilege, Trump sued unsuccessfully to stop the release of records from the White House, including to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol by Antifa. So, there is a January 6th connection, and you said Lynn Cheney's got her fingerprints on it. You may be right. This is a hit job.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I tell you, Trump pissed off the cabal.
Boy, and if they can get a sitting president, I mean, they got General Flynn with no problem. And if they can get a past president, a former president,
yeah,
like Holder said, they can get anybody.
Yeah.
Forget this is Trump. This could happen to you. You upset the wrong person. You poke at the wrong hornet's nest. You run for office and somebody wants you out. This is scary stuff. This is third world country stuff. We have rule. We're a country of the rule of law.
But Al, I firmly believe now, if Trump would have went after his first year of term with the allegations of Russian collusion, okay, Mike Pence mm-hmm. becomes president, and then he appoints another insider as vice president, Trump would have been left alone. He would have been left alone. He could have retired. He would have went back into the private sector, and nothing else would have come of this. But the fact is that Trump would not go away, and they underestimated the guy. I underestimated. I thought he was going to be a mediocre president at best. I never expected him to be a conservative, and I was talking to Holger about that. I never expected him to be that. I thought he was a very good president. He made it look easy. And that was not supposed to happen. So, and he's not going away. I mean, it's driving the Democrats nuts. It's driving the establishment nuts. He's not going away. I mean,
God bless him.
2 years later, and he's still commanding 40,000 people, 30,000 people, wherever he goes. And you got Joe Obama, you know, goes to police, got 12 people, and he can't keep them awake. And he can't stay awake. But tomorrow night, stay awake, because tomorrow we've got Eric from Kafira Stand with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. And Wednesday, you got Hank Jones at Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report at 6 o'clock p.m. on Thursday. Paul has some great guests as well. And he's the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Great book you can pick up at his website or go to Amazon.com. Friday, Andrew Harrod with a Conservative Casual Friday. Great show, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time to 12 a.m. Right here on Global Patriot Radio. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with the Cross the Crescent, the Real Interfaith Dialogue at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out the show. It's a great show. If you want to learn about Islam, you want to learn about Christianity, I tell you, Eric does a fantastic job. And here's a guy who's also bullied and badgered by the Islamists. And Monday, and I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski of Airways America in your prayers. He's doing good, so it's good to see him. And Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, she's in the house right now, and her great sidekick, Curtis Bennett, author Curtis Bennett. Check them out Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Cheap Simple Facts of Life, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Tuesdays on Blog Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Spreaker.com. Joshua does a great job. It's a great self-help network, and he does a you know what? If you're looking for ways to eat healthy and to learn about good health and good eating and exercise, check out the Simone Nicole Show. And Thursday, you got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Check out Audrey's show at audreyrusso.com. She has some great guests on there. And I'll tell you, her co-host, Mr. B, that guy gives some great monologues. He's got some great talk. So check out Real Talk with Audrey Russo. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot. You got Bring It On Boy. Nice to see you. Ducky Northwest. Southern Sense Talker. Annie Arrow, deplorable radio chick. The Alaskan Boyd. Nice to see you, Boyd. And we've got Sue from New Mexico. And that would be... every time Hoja said Sue, I thought of Sue from New Mexico. So, good evening, Sue. I hope you're doing well. Folks, be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. You guys be good. Be safe. Thank you all for joining us. Ciao.
Way in the president's house. Holy mackerel. That's scary.
It really is. It really is. I mean, what kind of government do we have? Holy cow. Huh. Oh my God.
You know how the press is going to say, the president is going to say, well, he had classified materials at his home that he wasn't authorized to have.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's go to the homes of Carter. Let's go to the homes of Clinton. How about George W? Let's go to the homes of Barack. Huh? What's considered classified?
I don't know, but that's how they're going to spin it. And if anybody's looking for a reason to give it a pass, they'll say, well, you know, if he had classified material in his house, well, that's what happens. He shouldn't have done it.
God, man, this is just...
But meanwhile, even if there is none, it doesn't matter. The damage is already done because the damage is in the charge, not the exoneration months later.
That's exactly right, Al. That is exactly right. That is the absolute idea behind this whole thing. Again, man, it goes back to destroying Trump in every way. He won't go. And since he won't go quietly, we have to find a way to, one, discredit him and, one, get him off the map. You can't continue to have this man, a former president, command 20, 30, 40,000 people with people coming from all across the United States. We have to find a way to discredit this guy, and they are doing everything they can. They tried it during his presidency, and he wouldn't go. And now, you know, you've got brain dead Biden, and you know, the one thing about Biden, he's corrupt to the core. He's not an honest man, so he's the perfect chimpanzee to let leash all of these happenings that we're having, because he has no feelings, he has no empathy. And the idea is he's a great front man to exercise the conduct that we're seeing today. He's a really good front man for that. You know, you've got the willing accomplices in the media. You have the willing accomplices in Congress. You know, Pelosi and Schumer, you know, both are complicit, you know, in trying to destroy this republic. And guess what? They're following the charlatan. It's really simple. They are the ones exercising it. The charlatan, you know, signs off on it, and it's all good. And the media just laps it all up because, oh, it's just good to have this decorum now. He's a freaking liar.
Yeah.
Wow.
This scares me very much.
Yeah, and it should scare everybody. It should. The power of the government.
Well, yeah, but we're supposed to have three co-equal branches of government. This is a Trump's no, he's a citizen now. He's not part of the executive branch, but this is still I don't know. This is the judicial branch overstepping.
No, the executive branch.
No. Trump's not in the executive branch. He's a citizen.
No, I understand. No, I was thinking this way. I was thinking the executive branch is using their authority to sic the FBI, okay? But you also had the executive branch under Biden was going after and attacking the judicial branch, the Supreme Court. So, you know, this has been a successful undertaking by the Biden-Harris administration to go after their political opponents. And they've used their authority, and they've abused their authority. They went after the judicial branch of government, and the Attorney General okay, if he gets his instructions from the President of the United States, the Attorney General did not enforce 18 subsection U.S. Code subsection 1507. He did not enforce that. And you know what? That's a direct violation of U.S. Code, U.S. law. And I believe that the executive branch is the one that authorized the Attorney General not to enforce U.S. law. And that's pretty scary, because now you've got the weaponizing of the executive branch attacking political opponents. And that's the way they see the Supreme Court. You know, they clearly identified who's what judge is on the right, and they leave out who's on the left, but they make sure that they vilify those that are on the right side of the political aisle, including Supreme Court justices. That's my opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, they already went after the Supremes. They went to their house, right? And they were protesting in front of their house, calling them out, bothering them, I mean, intimidating them at restaurants, and nothing mm-hmm. happened.
Right. Including an assassination
across
attempt,
the
right?
Yeah, assassination. Oh, what assassination? The one that never got reported.
Right, right.
And that sent the signal that we can get you when we want you.
Yep. And now look what they're doing. Now they're using the Attorney General now is using that department in order to go after a former president. And mm-hmm. that's quite disturbing. Very, very disturbing. I mean, wow. Wow.
What happens next? I have no idea.
Yeah. What happens next? I think, you know, what happens next? They probably arrest Donald Trump. I was surprised that they didn't arrest him when he went to Washington, D.C. and had the rally. I really was. I would have thought that Biden would have called for him being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't trust them. I don't trust the Biden administration. I mean, you want to talk about the most anti-American and anti-constitutional administration going after the Supreme Court justices and then not invoking law to protect our Supreme Court justices? Forget about the decisions. So you're okay then if a decision is in your favor, is in your left-wing favor, you will just simply, you know, you will go after anybody who challenges the Supreme Court if they render a decision that you believe in. But then you attack the Supreme Court and you authorize the attacking of the Supreme Court, because that's what Biden did. He incited to violence their base to go after the Supreme Court. God almighty. Yeah, what's next? Like you said, what's next? Wow.
I didn't see this coming in a million years at all.
Man, there is nothing that they will stop at. Nothing that they will stop at. I'll tell you, this Biden's out of control, man. Out of control.
Well, he can get away with it.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you know, we have discounted and not talked about how the Washington, D.C. went after Trump, candidate Trump, president-elect Trump. And, you know, it's all old news because people get tired of hearing it. And I understand that. I really do. But you know what? Enough can't be said about it, can it? Because this is what it leads to. This is what it leads to when you go after your political enemies. Trump was impeached for going after his political enemy, right? An undeclared candidate for the president, Joe Biden. He was undeclared, former vice president. And what was it? To look into corruption. Because he admittedly stated that they committed a quid pro quo. They, meaning Obama and Biden, committed a quid pro quo. And there was no outrage over that. But what they did was the establishment, turned the tables and went after who? They went after Trump for going after a political opponent. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You know, Trump was not part of the Biden was not a declared candidate. How can it be a political opponent? And then they impeached Trump, you know, for a call to Zelensky, trying to find out corruption. And it turns out that indeed Biden was corrupt or is corrupt. And Obama was complicit on it. So now they're trying to cover their tracks and they're going after Trump. Holy shit.
Then you got Bill Barr turning on him, doing nothing. And the other investigation, what do you go after, some low-level attorney for the other side? What the hell is his name?
Sussman.
Oh, yeah, they got Sussman. Yeah, no, who is the Durham? Durham.
Oh, Durham.
He was a plant. He didn't do a damn thing. Drag it out for 4 years.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Man. But, you know, the Durham, under the, see, this is the other thing that really bothers me. So, under the Durham investigation, what did it end up doing? With Sussman, specifically Sussman. So the Michael Sussman trial disclosed that Hillary Rodham Clinton and her campaign were involved in manufacturing the Russian dossier. They manufactured that. That was a false story. So if we were to be disgusted with how corrupt the politicians are, how corrupt the political system is, then why aren't we disgusted with what Hillary Clinton did, her campaign, okay? This is all done. It was all done with her knowledge, with her specific knowledge and input. And yet, there was no outrage over this. Why? And now we have this other, we have another attack on President Trump. I mean, it was proven during the Sussman trial that Hillary Rodham Clinton was behind the Russian dossier, okay, the Steele dossier, and yet there was no outrage, Al. Wait a minute. Hold on a second here. Whoa. This is breaking news. This should have been on every news. We have a candidate for President of the United States manufactured a phony document that cost taxpayers $30 million, and not to mention, it took down Flynn, General Flynn, went after that other guy, I forgot the guy's name, who was the campaign co-manager, and there's no outrage? Huh? Wait a minute. Whoa. What's going on here? Right? I mean, am I wrong on that?
not in the least. And that's probably only half of it.
Yeah. And forget about your political bias. Put your political bias off to the side. The fact is that you had a candidate for a major party who, one, rigged the primary election, and then, two, went after a political opponent. She literally went after a political opponent and lied about that political opponent's ties. And now it's proven. It's proven. It's confirmed. And the media went deaf, dumb, and silent on it. Wow. Boy, I'll tell you. And now they raided his compound. He raided his home. That is truly, this is Gestapo. You want to talk about Gestapo? Man, Adolf Hitler would be proud of Joe Biden and his antics. Whoa.
I don't know. I'm at a loss for words here. I don't know what's going to happen.
Wasn't there a song about the beginning? We've only just begun. Yeah, that'll be our next week's opening songs. We've only just begun.
Hell, we didn't even talk about the 1,000 rockets that were fired over into Israel. And then Israel put a bomb right in that one commander's apartment. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about that. I mean, talking about a precision strike. Holy crap.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then they had 200 of those 1,000 missiles misfired, and then one of them made a big U-turn and took out that family of four kids and two adults.
Oh, that's the Palestinian rocket that yeah. misfired?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And somehow Biden turned it into calling for the UN to investigate Israel's role. How in the hell, again, this is you, if you would have told me this is going to happen in 2018, I would have laughed at you. That is incredible.
It's happening fast. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Everything's happening, and then it's going to be too late to do anything. Have we reached that point yet? I don't know. Has we reached that trigger point that Holger was talking about? Where people are going to say enough.
I think we're getting to it now. Could this, you know what? Let me ask you this. Could this surprise raid be a distraction so that the federal government, that would be under Merrick Garland and Joe Biden, to identify who those further identify who the supporters are of the Trump supporters? Because, you know, it was Biden who stated, who called out the MAGA crowd as being extremists and radicals. Of course, he didn't call out the Antifa and BLM, who are part of the Democrat Party, as extremists and radicals. But he made sure to call the MAGA people, those that support MAGA, as being radicals. So the January 6th commission is at a standstill. They've hit a wall. And so now, in order to break down that part of that barrier, what better way than so go after the head of this MAGA movement that you've identified as MAGA, and see who turns up and how many people turn up and where the outrage is. So now you can further weaponize the IRS and the FBI to go after the MAGA people. Just use Twitter, for one. Get those IP addresses and start going to people's homes. Well, I see that you are in favor. You are against the FBI raiding former President Trump. What role do you play with this MAGA movement? Can you see that? I can see it.
Yeah.
Wow, huh? Wow.
Wow is right.
My goodness. Wow. The continued abuse of power by this administration, by this regime, by Washington, D.C. is incredible. And they're using Donald Trump as the punching bag. And I think they want to identify who continues to support that this individual, this man.
Mm-hmm.
So the question now is, does Liz Cheney lose? Is it tomorrow? Is the election day in Wyoming? Does she lose tomorrow, or does the establishment pull a fast one?
Probably a fast. I mean, look at the timing of this. We've got, I don't know, midterms are already starting in a lot of places. Politically, this is a good time to do this. If anything, they should have done it later, but maybe they had to do it now. I guess with midterms, this is setting a foundation. Because Kerry won, that one woman, she won. That was a big win. And I guess there's wins all over the country.
So do you think that Liz Cheney gets defeated tomorrow?
Who?
Liz Cheney gets defeated in the primary tomorrow?
Oh. I don't know. It looked like she was losing unless this is going to turn the tide for her.
Yeah, she was 18 points down. So I'm trying to figure out how she survives that. So obviously, you know, polls are not, you know, absolute. So, you know, what happens? How does she survive? I just don't think this is a turning point, honestly. With some of the people I've heard interviewed in Wyoming who are Trump supporters or think that she was wrong in going after
President Trump on January 6th. I mean, it wasn't just one or two people. It's been, you know, it's been huge as far as that goes. So does she turn that 18 points around, or does she continue to slide and tomorrow she succumbs to, you know, her opponent as a result of her participation in the January 6th committee?
Well, if this turns it up, turns it around from her 18-point deficit, then it was definitely timed. It would have to be timed. It's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought about it unless you mentioned it, but yeah.
Okay. So that's something to watch then. Okay.
Yeah, you're definitely looking at it from the right angle.
Oh my God. I'll tell you. This is interesting. We never thought we'd see this type of Russian and communist movement inside of our own government. Wow.
Nope. The enemy within. We've been talking about it, but I didn't think it would come to pass. But I guess when you shit, I don't know how do you turn this boat around? Can it be turned around?
Well, that's just it. And it would be up to the American people. And I think that's the fear, you know. So my take on it is this. In 2016, the American people woke up, and to the surprise and to the dismay of the left wing. And the heir apparent, of course, was who? It was Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the left movement, the institution did not see it coming, where the left was, or where Donald Trump would get elected, did not see that. And suddenly, Donald Trump gets elected, and now things must go on fast track. And part of the movement to put on fast track now is to destroy the guy, and that didn't work. He hasn't gone quietly, right? So, and it's been day after day, and Larry Elder said it every single solitary day. You know, they went after Trump, and he withstood all the arrows and the daggers and the character assassination, and he's still as popular as he was. And that's very disconcerting. So the 2016 election was a wake-up call to the establishment for what we are seeing today. And they're not going to allow it to happen again. So. That's just my take. Hello? You there? I lose you? All right. We'll see you. You guys have a nice evening. Take care. Bye, Sue. I hope you're doing well. I'll drop you a text here shortly. Take care. Bye, everybody. That's all, folks. Thank you for using Block Talk Radio.